Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence calling, and welcome to your unofficial Eurovision podcast. Yes, welcome. The guides to Eurovision are over. We're now into the long-promised previewing of the 39 songs that will be entering Eurovision this year. Come May the 29th and midnight, we will have a winner. But for now, there are 39 potential winners in the mix for this year's Eurovision Song Contest. And myself and some of the best and most well-known and most well-educated Eurovision fans will be talking about these over the next 2 weeks. We're going to go with a format that yet again may well be lifted from a show back from the late 60s, but at least it does have a Eurovision connection. Jukebox during the BBC did have as a regular guest Katie Boyle, so keeping the flame alive. We're going to have various guests coming through over the next 2 weeks, but joining me just now to take us through five Eurovision tracks that could be teasing, titillating, and asking you for the votes, we have Karina Westerman and Paul Jordan. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, long-term Eurovision fans. Paul, of course, I bumped into you in Russia last year as the only other person wearing a kilt.
Absolutely. It was a year to remember as well. It was quite a year in Moscow.
And Karina, of course, was following me back on Twitter. Did you get enough of the atmosphere of Eurovision through the electronic means?
Not at all. I had to go back to Denmark to get a bit of that old Eurovision buzz going.
There's the big giveaway. You're not from round here, are you?
I know. I'm not. My accent's kind of dodgy anyway, so that probably gave it away. But no, I'm a Dane living abroad.
What's the difference that you see in Eurovision in the UK as compared to how it was when you went back to Denmark last year?
There isn't so much a buzz here in the UK. In Denmark, definitely get someone of the stature of Alexander Burke or Will Young participating, and you just don't get that sort of buzz. You don't get the level of performers over here, and there is definitely not sort of a water cooler moment. I went back to Denmark for a bit of fun.
Well, just to make Karina feel a little bit at home, let's take as our first track Denmark's entry coming up this year. In a moment like this, did sterling work, and a lot of people weren't quite happy that this was the winner out of the national final. But in a moment like this, from Shinny and Nevergreen. In a moment like this. So there we have Shinee and Nevergreen representing Denmark. I mean, Karina, is that a typical Danish song?
It's something you'd hear on the radio, yeah. It's not edgy, it's not young, but you'd hear it on national radio, definitely.
So what about as a Eurovision song, though? Has that got what it takes for you to give it the deuce points of a hit?
I actually think it's Denmark's strongest entry since about 2006. And I'm very pleasantly surprised because they've kind of gone a bit too Ronan Keating in the last few years. So I'm pleasantly surprised, yeah.
Paul?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really strong. I think it's a good old-fashioned Schlager Eurovision kind of mid-tempo number. It's catchy. They're a good-looking couple. I'm not sure, though, whether it's a little bit too retro. Maybe it will fall flat on its face, perhaps. The fans seem to really like it, and every year there's always a few that the fans love and seem to kind of...
It's got the key change. It's got that classic key change, which appeals to a certain kind of Eurovision fan.
It will sail to the final, but I think it will be probably mid-table in the top 10, perhaps.
Okay, probably a fair reaction from me. I mean, I personally really like this song. As I said, I was glad when it won the national final. Wasn't expecting it to win the national final as well. I think I was more like you, Paul, that sort of Schlager vein. It's like, yeah, that's a traditional Eurovision song, but, you know, the idea of traditional Eurovision has never existed. And we've moved on from what we think now, but it came through and I'm like, wow, all right then. So because of that, I've no idea to read. I am going to give it a hit, but I think it's going to be right on the edge of the top 10.
I think it's actually a dark horse, and I think it's going to go top 5. I'd definitely say a hit, and it's not just because I'm biased.
Paul?
7th or 8th, I think.
So are we going to hit, miss, or maybe on that one?
A hit, just.
So that's 3 out of 3 for a first song from Denmark. Now, if you want to listen to all these songs, there's the official YouTube channel. Obviously, you'll be able to hear it on the night as well. But if you head back to the links with the podcast, you will be able to purchase the CD direct from Amazon. You can also have an MP3 download from the Eurovision site itself. It's going to be up on iTunes as well. So if you want the full effect of any of the songs that you're hearing in the Jukebox Juries, then do make sure you go online and find them from your official and popular website. So we're going to move on now. Bosnia. They've had a love and hate relationship with Eurovision. They'd love to win it, but everybody never quite got there. Thunder and Lightning is this year's track from Vukasin Brajic, yet again testing my skills at pronunciation of East European countries' names and performers, but Thunder and Lightning, the mix of two disparate elements trying to find peace and harmony together.
That, to me, just sounded like late 80s German rock, sort of Scorpions type thing, poodle rock, really. It's beyond vintage.
It's the sort of song that just gives you a nightmare vision of David Hasselhoff on stage at Eurovision.
More like David Hasselhoff on the Berlin Wall trying not to fall down, but that's just...
I do not... want to be reminded of that vision of looking out for freedom coming up in the cherry. No, we're not going there. This reminds me of Peter Elfimov from last year. And Peter Elfimov was a fantastic song last year. It was also the world record longest Steadicam shot from a Segway ever. Peter, you still haven't released an album. Or if you have, it's been so rubbish it's not on BitTorrent anywhere. Not that I would ever look. But you didn't have an Amazon either. It's middle of the road, it's the cock rock number. I'm not sure whether he's going to come out as a skinhead or with massive Bon Jovi hair. There's a guitar solo in the middle of someone that's going to overact and everybody will go, look, you've forgotten to plug your electric guitar in, even though we all know he's miming. I'd like it to do well. I don't see it getting the personal votes to get out the semi-finals.
Basically, for somebody who's looking for that collection of Bon Jovi B-sides...
Well, you both took the words right out of my mouth, because I was going to...
That's Meatloaf.
I was going to mention David Hasselhoff, and then I was going to talk about Belarus. It does remind me of Belarus last year, that kind of, heavy mid-tempo sort of rock song with, heavy accent as well. Like, it sounds like very like a dodgy kind of English accent or singing accent that he's got, and I think that sort of spoils it a little bit. I think it's the sort of thing that perhaps non-fans would really kind of latch onto as proof that Eurovision is completely not credible.
And of course, with the semi-finals, you've got to go for the votes. It is the fans that are really watching the semi-finals, although they do get broadcast in the countries that are in that. It's a lot more fan-based, so it's harder to get through with something that's less traditional.
I just hope for something better from Bosnia, because I've loved Bosnia the previous 2 years, Laika in 2008 and Regina last year. I love both of them, and this year's just a huge disappointment.
Yeah. So that's a miss from me.
Miss.
Yeah, miss.
That's a miss. So three hits, three misses as we start off. Let's take the third song now. Poland as a country has had a really rough time. And if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, did they send the right song out of the national finals? I would have said no. They should have said Love Me and Anna Kaisel. But Legend A, if you want to take it from the American, from Marcin Mazurinski, it might just catch the mood a little bit better. Let's have a listen to this one. I think there's going to be a panel disagreement, because I can see Paul and Karina's faces. This one's going, I actually like this. It's strong, it's anthemic, it's got a good, strong rhythm. It has a hook, it's quite repetitive. I think this is a maybe for me, but I'm now looking at disgust and horror that's coming to me from the other side of the panel.
It's different.
The words damning and faint praise seem to go in the same sentence with that one.
It just feels like it's been written by a committee of the hard of hearing. It's got so many different elements going for it, and it just doesn't add up. But having said that, I think it might get a few sympathy voters.
Paul?
Well, if that's the case, then poor Iceland, they're really screwed because there'll be lots of people who are very angry.
No, Iceland will have lots of votes. It's just that they'll be left somewhere in Marrakesh and Dubai. And
I think Poland's an absolute mess. I think the start sounds like some sort of Soviet choir. It conjures up some sort of, Cold War image. And then the chorus is quite strong, but it's repetitive and it just doesn't seem to go anywhere. And I just think it's a shame because, Poland could have probably sent much better songs than this.
As a lot of people are saying, the song that came in second place in the national final, yes, it's a traditional up-tempo Rocky Blondie number, but it might have got a more wider approval.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm yet to see a really strong contender from Poland.
The first ever one was pretty good, 94, that came second, but apart from that, I'll take Manorak off now.
Right, I'm saying maybe on that one.
Miss.
Oh, dear. Okay, let's carry on. As I said, these podcasts are going. We have 8 of these to get through all the songs, so stay with us. You will find the links back at www.ewanspence.com. You can follow myself on Twitter as well throughout all of Eurovision, which is just twitter.com/Ewan. And now we're going to go for Hora Honey and Slovakia. Christina there from Slovakia. Paul, yes or no?
Maybe. I really don't know. I quite like it. Although, I don't know, it sounds like an album filler. And I don't think her vocals are that good. And also, apparently she's attempting very ornate choreography, which could set her vocals off even further. So, I don't know. I think it very much depends on the night, on the performance.
A lot of songs that we're going to come through are, what is it going to be like on the night? There are so many songs. I mean, there's no outright winner this year so far. I mean, this point last year, everybody went, we're going to Norway. You know, we'd had the hotels booked. We knew, we realised how much the beer was. This year, there's about 10 or 11 countries that could conceivably do very, very well. And at least another 5 or 6 that are outriders. I don't even see this one making the outrider category. The costume that she wore in the national final was absolutely huge. And it just looked like the sort of thing that Cher would look at and think, that's too much. And that, I'm sorry, is a great big warning sign that you need to tone it down very slightly. I think she's going to get lost in the dress. I think she's going to get lost in the set. And I think they're going to try and put so much emphasis on the visual that what tiny rhythmic parts of the song that hook in your brain are just going to get you're just going to get distracted and just go, oh, how did that one go again? Yeah. I mean, she looked a bit like Jessica Garlick had let herself go, but, was this song? No, couldn't see it. Karina?
I actually really like it. I was sitting here humming along, and I've listened to it several times, and I think the only worrying thing about it is she's not put in a really good live performance so far. Out of the clips I've seen, she's not a strong live performer, and that is worrying. I wouldn't mind if she put on a huge stage show. I mean, after all, this is the age of Gaga, but she is not a Lady Gaga at all. But that's just me. I quite like it. I think there's sort of a little mysticism to it, and I like that. I like my Balkan pop.
So are we going to go for Duznula or somewhere in the middle?
I could call it a hit.
Somewhere in the middle, maybe.
And I'm going to go for a clear miss on this one and null as well. So we are coming to the close. We have one more track to go through. And it comes from the country that I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, was the first to declare the song and actually get it out there to the Eurovision fans. And that is Switzerland. I'm sure someone with an anorak somewhere in the world will correct me if I get that wrong. I'm sure there was another country that announced first, but this was the first one to actually get the song out there. Michael von der Heide and Il Pleut Dehors, which we promise you doesn't translate as golden shower. people in the UK who remember watching Tiz Wots will remember Chris Tarrant reaching down, grabbing a kid by the ears and lifting him up to the counter and into the shot of the camera. And I'm afraid that's what Michael reminds me of. He doesn't look like a pop star. He looks like the gangly kid at school who'd managed to find a gold lamé jacket in the back of the dressing up cabinet when he was 7, and he's now 16, and it's his lucky jacket.
But apart from that,
I'm sorry, that's the best I could do. It's like, you look a bit like the creepy kid at school. This song, irrespective of the comedy potential in the title, I'm sure somebody will bet Graham Norton 50 quid to make reference to in the BBC's live commentary. There's nothing going for this song. It's not even a dirge. It's like a car in second gear trying to find third, and it slips back into second gear again. It goes absolutely nowhere. No point.
It's a non-mover for me as well. I just feel sorry for the guy because he's got pedigree. He's worked with Nina Hagen, Uta Lemper, people like that.
We're talking like 8 albums, 18 singles in Swiss popular culture. It's not like he's somebody that they've just picked up off a talent show because he was good on MySpace.
No, but Switzerland has a problem. They've sent some good stuff recently. Aristopendo, I can't remember when it was, 2 years ago, and that didn't even make it out of the semi-finals. This is not going to make it at all, and I feel sorry for the guy.
Absolutely. Switzerland have totally lost the plot the past few years. I mean, they had probably their strongest chances in 2008, but since then they've not really done anything special at all. Yeah, I just think it's quite creepy to watch. He doesn't come across well on camera. It reminds me a little bit of, remember the pop star in the 80s, Plastic Bertrand? Mm-hmm. Reminds me a little, and he actually did Eurovision for Luxembourg as well. Just reminds me of that, and it's kind of...
If we had BBC Scotland's fighting talk, that would be a big bell there, by the way.
And yeah, it doesn't come across well. I mean, whatever happened, you know why? You know, they need Celine Dion back, basically, to win.
And it's sung in French. These days, things sung in French do not do well at Eurovision. Apart from last year when they got Patricia Cass, but she's in sort of league of her own.
I think Patricia Cass gets a D6+5 modifier.
Yeah.
Right then. So we have had our five there. Going back, let's take that in reverse order. Bringing up the rear, Switzerland and Bosnia, both with a complete no point miss across the board. Poland just popping up slightly with 6 points, coming from myself against that. Slovakia bringing up with 18. That was a hit, miss, and a maybe from the panel, so complete split options. But we've got Denmark there right at the top with 3 doozies. I mean, I think that's fair out of this batch. I mean, Denmark is definitely top 10, but can we see it as a winner of Eurovision this year?
Yes, but I would say that, wouldn't I?
No, close. Maybe top 5, yeah. But not a winner.
I think the only chance it has is because the rest of the competition is so strong. This is the song that is going to pick up lots of 7s and 8s. This is the song that is just going to consistently just write them up. I've already mentioned it once, but exactly like Jessica Garlick did for the UK. It's just going to sit there and go 8, 8, 8, 8. And all the other countries are going to be fighting over 12s, 10s and 0s and split off. So there's a chance that this can drive straight up the middle. It's a very slim chance. So as such, I would say I don't see it as a winner. But if we ended up going to Copenhagen next year, I'd be quite happy.
And I have somewhere to stay there already, so I'd be quite happy.
That means I have somewhere to stay as well, Paul.
Absolutely, and apparently the booze is cheaper in Copenhagen as well.
Ah, that's always important. Right then, so that is your Eurovision Jukebox Jury. Thank you for listening for this one. We've got more shows, as always. You can find the archives and the shows coming up in the next couple of days, www.ewanspence.com. It only remains for me to thank my 2 jury panellists of Karina Westerman.
Bye.
And Paul Jordan.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Thank you very much for listening. Let's run the old traditional classical music is played by electrical guitar. Although electrical guitar does make me sound a bit 1950s.